The writer David Gran is with us. He writes deeply involved histories. I guess they're like mystery stories, except true. Does that sound correct, David?
Yeah, that sounds true. I always like the line from Sherlock Holmes, that truth being stranger than fiction. And so many of my stories are true story mysteries, that even when they're historical mysteries.
One of them was Killers of the Flower Moon, which I think is being made into a movie. Am I right about that? And there's another that's been made into a movie?
Yeah, Lost City of the Z was made into a movie. And my newest book is now being adapted by the same people who adapted Killers of the Flower Moon.
Amazing. And it's just coming out now. This book is called The Wager. It's a sea story.
In the 1740s.
At the time of the British Empire.
That is correct. And this ship is part of a squadron set on some secret mission to capture a Spanish galleon filled with treasure, which was known as the prize of all the oceans. Mm,
so they're going for money, but they get something else. And I want you to read a paragraph of this story, if you wouldn't mind. At this point, the ship is run aground in a storm, and a couple of members of the crew go to tell the captain, a man named Cheap. Would you read a paragraph from that moment in Chapter 8?
Sure. Soon Byron and Campbell approached the surgeon's cabin doorway, dripping ghostly figures seemingly from another world. The midshipman apprised Captain Cheap of what had happened and told him about the island. About a musket shot away, it appeared swampy, barren, and storm-swept, with scrubby woodlands and mountains rising into the gloomy mist. The island offered no sign of culture, according to Byron, but it offered an escape. We now thought of nothing but saving our lives.
Hmm. What drew you to the story?
Two things. One is it was just one of the more extraordinary sagas of survival and adventure I'd ever come across. I mean, it had, you know, just virtually every element you could imagine, again, from typhoons and tidal waves and dead reckoning and shipwreck. And then when they're on this island, they begin to descend into a real-life Lord of the Flies with warring factions and mutinies and murders, and a few even succumb to cannibalism. But what intrigued me even more about the story was not only what had happened on the island, but what happened after some of these castaways incredibly make it back to England. And after everything they've been through, they are summoned to face a court-martial for their alleged crimes on the island. And they suddenly, you know, trying to save their lives, they could be hanged after everything. And after waging this war against the elements, they begin to wage a war over the truth. And there is information and disinformation. There's even allegations of fake news. And there's also a war over who would get to tell the history and efforts by those in power to cover up the scandalous truth and the sins of a nation's past. And so, for me, this story, even though it took place in the 18th century, it felt like a parable for our own turbulent modern times.
You're exploring the essence of human nature here, aren't you?
Yes, both the essence of human nature, what happens when it is stripped bare. That island becomes a kind of laboratory, testing the human condition under extreme circumstances. And inevitably, it begins to reveal the hidden nature of each person, both the good and the bad.
Who's your favorite character among the survivors?
You know, it's hard to say, but I would say that the person perhaps easiest to kind of relate to or understand would be John Byron, the midshipman, because he is just a boy when this expedition sets out, and he has to come of age amid these horrors that are unleashed not only by the natural elements, but even by his own shipmates.
Famous name.
It is a famous name. He would go on to become the grandfather of the poet Lord Byron, whose poetry was greatly influenced by what he referred to as my great-granddad's narrative. The poet Lord Byron once wrote in a letter to his sister, and hopefully my memory will get this correct, he said his fate had been reversed from the fate of his grandsire of yore. He had no rest at sea, nor I on shore.
Mm. When these men all get back to England, there is a court-martial. It's supposed to establish the truth. It seems not to do so. Why not?
So not only were each individual of the survivors trying to shape their stories and tell their stories to serve their own self-interests. What this story really shows is how nations also shape and manipulate and edit their stories to serve their own self-interest. And what happened on Wager Island makes the British Empire look scandalous. It makes their officers look more like brutes and like gentlemen. And so there are those in power who have a vested interest in preferring this all to go away.
When I read that part of it, I was thinking of a William Faulkner novel, not his most famous. I believe it's called A Fable. It's about World War I. And it's a moment when the soldiers on both sides in World War I resolved to stop shooting at each other. And the most urgent, the most important thing for all the governments involved is to cover this up.
Yes. 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 Sometimes mutinies can be so threatening to the state because what it may show about the system. And in this case, this very mutiny held up a light, shined a light on the evil of imperialism and the lie that lay at the heart of the British Empire's justification for somehow conquering other peoples. It liked to claim that its civilization was somehow superior to others. But here these men had gotten on the island, these supposed apostles of Western civilization, and they had descended into this Hobbesian state of depravity.
They weren't any better than any other human beings then.
They were no better than any other human beings, and in this case, often acted worse.
The latest book by David Gran is called The Wager, A Tale of Shipwreck, Mutiny, and Murder. Thanks so much.
Thank you.